I would like to, first of all, emphasise that I agree totally with the illegality of the conflict. I, in fact, was another of the people who was responsible for the letter in The Guardian, and also very much endorse everything that Burns has just said. So I think I'll just sort of raise two rather different issues. The first one, in introduction, Corinne said that one of the important things is making sure that what happened in Iraq doesn't become accepted practice and so sort of looking forward as part of the future. I agree totally with that, and I think that in fact what we have to do is also sort of look back, not see Iraq and the war in Iraq as a single event, but look back over the past decade and see how in fact the laws of war and the commitment to compliance with the international regulation against the use of force had been gradually whittled away through a whole series of incidents, going right back to through Somalia, obviously Kosovo, East Timor, and so on. Now, each one is different, and it's very difficult to generalize, even harder in 1 minute. But I think two themes come out. On the one hand, you have where force was authorized by the United Nations. It began being authorized for humanitarian issues, which are very different from the original charter concepts of action against aggression or traditional peacekeeping. It was this notion of the use of force for beneficial ends and bringing in the idea that military force can, in fact, be justified for beneficial ends. And then another strand we get is the assertions by states, in particular, of course, the United States, as to when they could use force without going through the Security Council. Coming up, of course, to Kosovo, but Kosovo, because of its humanitarian-type idea, began having this notion that somehow it's legitimate. The law itself might be changing, but this was in some way legitimate. Afghanistan, again, because of the post-September the 11th idea, again, there was a willingness, although it was not clearly, I don't think, within the resolutions of the Security Council, it was more easily and readily justified. So then we come to Iraq. We had these two trends already getting confused. And so on the one hand, clearly without being authorized. On the other hand, although this was not the justification, there was this still sort of humanitarian notion behind it. And I think we need to unpack these, see what has happened to the whole trend of international law, and try to put this forward. Now, have I got another half minute or not?
About 15 seconds.
Okay, 15 seconds. The other point I wanted to raise was if we're looking at this question of liberation or occupation, who in fact was liberated? And the point I particularly want to raise is what is the issue with respect to reconstruction for the women of Iraq? I think very clearly throughout the whole media coverage of the war and the post-war situation, women have been invisible. Yet women are now the majority of the population in Iraq. Unlike other countries in the area, there is an educated, there has been a body of women who've had the highest level of empowerment in that area. It is Security Council obligation under an earlier resolution, Security Council Resolution 1325, that women are involved in post-conflict, reconstruction, rehabilitation, reintegration of society. And to my mind, if we're to go with principles of participatory democracy, if we want an Iraq that is genuinely for the whole people of Iraq, women have got to be included as integral to this process, not just as a parallel add-on when people remember that we exist.
Okay, thank you, Christine.